Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadha Dahari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadha Dahari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jananjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jananjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jananjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astataru Shishimad. As divine grace shall abide Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON founder, BBT founder, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Vyasadeva Ki Jai. Guru Parampara Ki Jai. Bhaktivedanta Purport Skija. Natai go Pramanande Gari Gari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga go Pramanande. Light. Does anyone know how to switch the light on? It's a little dull for my reading. Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, entitled Rahugana Converses with Jatbharat. We are text number 5 today. Adrishya Jili Svana Karna Sula, Uluka, Vagbir, Vyatitantaratna, Vyatitantaratma, Apunya, Vrikshan, Shrayate Shudardito Marichi Toyane Abhidvavati Kvachet. Adrishya Jili Svana Karna Sula.
Adrishya Jili Svana Karna Sula.
Uluka Vagbir Vyati Tantaratma.
Uluka Vagbir Vyati Tantaratma.
Apunya Vrikshan Shrayate Shudardito. Marichiton yan yabidva vati kvachit. Adrishya jili svana karna sula.
Adrishya jili svana karna sula.
Uluka vagbir vyati tantaratma. Apunya Vrikshan Shrayate Shudardito.
Apunya Vrikshan Shrayate Shudardito.
Marichitonyan Yabidva Vati Kvachit.
Marichitonyan
Yabidva Vati Kvachit. Adrishya Jili Svana Karna Sula.
Adrishya Jili Svana Karna Sula.
श्रायते शुद्धार्दितो मरीचितान्यन् यबिद्वावति क्वचित्। Vaishnavis, invisible, jile of crickets, or a kind of bee, swana by the sounds, karnasula whose ears are disturbed, uluka of the owls, Vagbi, by sound vibrations, Vyatita, very disturbed, Antaatma, whose mind and heart, Apunya Vrikshan, impious trees, that have no fruits or flowers. Shrayate, he takes shelter of. Shuddha, from hunger. Ardita, suffering. Marichito yani, the waters of a mirage in the desert. Abidhavati, he runs after. Kvachit, sometimes. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. wandering in the forest of the material world, if you want to repeat, you can repeat a few words. Wandering in the forest
of the material world,
the conditioned soul
sometimes hears
an invisible cricket
making harsh sounds,
and his ears
become
very much aggrieved.
Sometimes his heart
is pained
by the sounds
of owls,
which are just like
the harsh words
of his enemies.
Sometimes
he takes shelter
of a tree
that has no fruits
or flowers.
He approaches
such a tree
due to his strong appetite,
and thus he suffers.
He would like
to acquire water,
but he is
simply illusioned
by a mirage,
and he runs after it.
Purport.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Bhagavat philosophy is meant for people who are completely free from envy. Paramo Nidmat Saranam. The material world is full of envious people. Even within one's inner circle, there is much backbiting. And this is compared to the sound vibration of a cricket in the forest. One cannot see the cricket, but one hears its sounds and thus becomes aggrieved. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always hears unpalatable words from relatives. This is the nature of the world. One cannot avoid mental distress due to the backbiting of envious people. Being very much aggrieved, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. Thus the living entity is disappointed. This is like running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. Such activities do not produce any tangible results. Due to being directed by the illusory energy, a conditioned soul suffers in so many ways. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare In a room conversation in Hong Kong in 1972, several devotees were there, including Shyamasundar Prabhu and Burichan Prabhu and his good wife, Madhijagatarini. So Prabhupada was very much appreciative, and not just appreciative, but he had his disciples in the core of his hearts, especially because of their surrender and service, especially for the mission of Krishna consciousness. So he was mentioning there that now these boys and girls from foreign countries, and 3 or 4 years ago, he's mentioning like that, 3 or 4 years ago, they did not know even the word Krishna in that sense. But now they are so perfect in being a devotee of Krishna, just within the expanse of a few years. Of course, Prabhupada may be speaking like that, but we are also aware that he has caused us mercy in many ways, that he has come and has given us Krishna. And then he said, and just see, nobody can actually deviate them from this faith. Yes, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And then he glorified, and those several devotees who were there. Of course, in principle he glorified those devotees, but in practicality he's glorifying all of his disciples. Like that. And he said, just if somebody comes and tells Shama Sundar Prabhu that, you know, you give up this Krishna consciousness because your father is very, very rich, and he's always canvassing, he's the only son, please come back and take over the business. Like that. But he said, he's not going. He's not leaving me, he's not going. Like that. And he said, just see, they cannot give up this Krishna consciousness. They cannot really give it up. Like that. Then he said, and see our Jagatarini, wife of Burijan. You know, she's a theatrical girl, that means an actor. And she was, you could say in one sense, can earn millions of dollars. Like that. But she has given up everything. You know, she's such a nice girl, she's educated, you know, she's qualified, but she is fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. And he said, just see, I asked her to go to Hong Kong and meet my disciple Burijan and marry him. And she simply followed. And she simply followed. She never saw him, so what kind of a husband she's going to accept? She never really see him like that. And in that sense, simply on my word she came. Simply on my word, she has faith and she came. You know, in that way. And then he said, similarly, I'm asking another girl, French girl, Mandikini, you go to Russia. And you marry my disciple. Simply on my word. Like that. See? And then he made the point that they are so obedient that there's no consideration at all. They're not considering anything. They're so obedient. They're simply going on my order. They're simply going on my order. That is all. Like that. And then he made the point that in Krishna consciousness, you know, marriage or no marriage, that is not the consideration. He made this point. Marriage or no marriage, that is not the consideration. Like that. The only consideration, he said, is how to please Krishna and his representatives. And that's what they are all doing. So, and he quoted Guru Krishna Prasad Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. It means Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasad Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. That they have been wondering, so many lifetimes and so forth, but they have come to me like that. And just in a few, expanse of a few short years, you know, they have got this bhakti lata beast, this kripa of devotional service. And it can only be attained by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So here we find Rahugana is receiving some transcendental knowledge from Jad Bharat. And Jad Bharat is speaking about the entanglement in the forest of the material world, like that. And at the same time is speaking more about a Grihamedi or a sense enjoyer who's devoid of Krishna consciousness, like that. And we see that at the same time that when devotees come from the material world and they transition through sadhana bhakti into the spiritual world in Krishna consciousness, they also come with their conditioning. They come with their conditioning. And Prabhupada mentions specifically two types of conditioning here. One is you come with envy and you come with the tendency of backbiting from the material world transitioning into the spiritual world. Like that. We'll discuss that later on. But I'm just making the point that due to the overwhelming nature of Prabhupada's potency, Srila Prabhupada's disciples followed him, you know, followed him, not strictly, but just loved to follow him. You know, they didn't care for any other considerations. In fact, you know, they joined in their youth and young adulthood, and they didn't have any considerations even to take care of their own family members, to a greater or lesser extent for almost all the devotees, just engage in the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, like that. Despite coming from the material world into the spiritual nature in sadhana bhakti. We find that even during Srila Prabhupada's time, devotees joined, they got initiated, but because they were overwhelmed with Prabhupada's mercy and potency to give them pure Krishna consciousness, they followed. But at times, you know, they also left, some of them also left during Srila Prabhupada's time, and several also left even after Prabhupada winded up his manifest presence, you know, on the planet in 1977, like that. But Srila Prabhupada, he was quite an amazing personality. I mean, second to none, practically. And recently I was in Mumbai, and one devotee, his name is Drista Prabhu, he's probably from the North Carolina area in the US, like that. So he and his good wife were there, like that. And he made a point in the class which struck me very deeply, like that. And he said round about 1972 or 1973, maybe 74 also, if I recollect, Srila Prabhupada was initiating disciples like anything, because the movement is being established and expanding like anything at the same time. But he was initiating more and more disciples like that. So as he was initiating more disciples, some disciples were leaving and going back to material life, going back to breaking the four regulative principles. And this was happening like at an alarming rate. It's a cause for concern, like that. So some of the leaders, they approached Srila Prabhupada. And they said, Srila Prabhupada, on one hand you are initiating many, on the other hand quite a number are also leaving. like that. You know, it caused for concern like that. Before I continue that anecdote, we find that due to Prabhupada's overwhelming mercy, people overlook their conditioning. They overlook the conditioning. They may not be sufficiently purified from them, but they overlook the conditioning due to the overwhelming causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and engaged in pure devotional service. But then subsequently some of them became weak and their conditioning rose and then they went back. But the amazing thing is that's from the law of karma. But Prabhupada didn't, you know, he didn't work with the law of karma. He didn't see through the law of karma like that. So when this was brought up by the leaders that, you know, devotees are leaving at an, you know, at a rate which is quite alarming like that, then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I've also received reports that my disciples are also leaving and going back to their old ways like that. And then he made this comment and he said, but only few are eating meat. And that struck me very deeply. Only few are eating meat. Very few, like, are eating meat. So he didn't really see. He didn't actually see that, you know, they are becoming grihamedis again. He didn't see that. He just saw one thing, that when they came to me, they have improved their lives. They have improved their lives. At least they are not eating meat. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada, he kept that as a connection to his disciples. He kept that as a connection to his disciples. Like that. And even if somebody went away for some time and came back again to Srila Prabhupada, came back, in general, he would never ask, so where did you go and what did you do and why did you do? He never asked like that. He said something to the effect, he said, because you are so sincere, you have come back. Because of your sincerity, you have come back. Like that. So once connected to Krishna consciousness, you're no more a grihamedi, even if you go back. You're no more that. You're no more that. Because Srila Prabhupada keeps that connection. He keeps it. He always keeps that connection with every one of his disciples and every one of his grand disciples and generations to come. He keeps that connection like that. Because after all, Krishna consciousness is eternal. Once revived again, it can never be lost. It can never be lost. So even when, if one goes back to the material world, you know, there's a sense of being haunted by the good life and blissful life of Krishna consciousness. You'll be haunted by that and you come back again. Like that. Another devotee who was a sannyasi, he left his sannyas ashram and he left Srila Prabhupada and went back to the material world. Like that. So someone may say, oh, he has become a grihamedi again. No. Not like that. So one day Srila Prabhupada received a very long package that was shipped to him. A very long package that was shipped to him. So he opened the package and there was a note in it and the package was the danda. So this ex-sannyasi, he returned the danda to Srila Prabhupada with a note in it. Like that. And then Srila Prabhupada said, just see how responsible he is. He's returning my danda. Like that. He never really saw. He never really saw this aspect. Oh, you become a karmi again. You become a grihamedi. He never saw that. Never ever saw that. Like that. that. Another time, you know, another disciple left, and when he came back, you know, Prabhupada said, "Welcome back home." That's all. Welcome back home. Never asked anything about where did you go, what did you do, why did you do, nothing like that. In that sense. So even if our conditioning gets the better of us while in the process of Krishna consciousness, and even if we tend to have an apparent fall down and go back to the material world like that, still the eternality of the process of Krishna consciousness will haunt one, will nag one, in a sense, and that always brings the devotee back. That always, because it is superior to everything. It is superior to karma, it is superior to jnana, it is superior to yoga, it is superior to tapasya, it is superior to vairagya, it is superior to everything like that. Krishna consciousness, and one comes back to engage in devotional service. Now Srila Prabhupada uses the word backbiting like that. When Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan, he stopped at Varanasi or Banaras, like that. And he was staying in Chandrasekharacharya's home, taking his meals in the home of Tapan Mishra, like that. And when he was passing through the town or the city, he was always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he was dancing in ecstasy, and he was affecting the people's consciousness. And just seeing him, people didn't consider what they were meant to do, you know, go to buy something, go to the well, or go on an errand. They forgot all that. Upon seeing Lord Chaitanya chanting, they just joined him like that. They just joined him like that. So he attracts people in that way. Such a powerful personality, Lord Chaitanya. You forget everything. You just join him immediately like that. So because so many people were attracted by him in a short space of time in Banaras Varanasi, he became instantaneously famous like that. And everyone says, oh, he's a nice sannyasi, he has come from Bengal, and he's always chanting and dancing. And this propaganda went to the Mayavadi gurus, like that. So the Mayavadi sannyasis, they could not tolerate this. And how is it somebody else is coming in our town and becoming more popular? They could not tolerate like that. And then Srila Prabhupada said, that is an aspect of backbiting. Srila Prabhupada said, and I mean to say backbiting. Backbiting. In other words, they're saying, here's a sannyasi, he's dancing. In that sense. And according to Mayavad sannyas, this dancing and singing is strictly forbidden. But what actually happened to them is that they were envious of Lord Chaitanya. But they were not exhibiting their envy, they were exhibiting their jnana externally, but actually internally it's envy. And Prabhupada calls that backbiting. Backbiting. Especially Mayavadi sannyasis, they like to do backbiting against the Vaishnavas. Especially would like to chant. Here and chant. In Bhagavad Gita, this verse, Advesta Sarva Bhutanam Maitri Karuna Evacha Ni Mamo Nirhankara Samadhuka Sukashami. Like that. In other words, one who is not envious is actually a friend of every living entity. And as a result, he is free from the false ego of being a proprietor, owning things, thinking that this is mine eternally, but actually it will be taken away at the time of death. And such a person also is sort of undisturbed by happiness and distress, always tolerant, internally satisfied, completely self-controlled, and is always fixed vitavrata in determination to only engage in devotional service, like that. So Prabhupada said, such a devotee who is considered a pure devotee is actually not disturbed in any circumstance, is not disturbed. And nor is he envious of anyone. And even if somebody sees him as enemy, he does not become his enemy's enemy in that way. And he feels that this person is acting as my enemy, but due to my past own misdeeds, it's better to suffer than to protest. Prabhupada says like that. But at the same time, this is a very high level stage of consciousness, unknowing to the devotee that he's a kind friend of every living entity, doesn't see anyone as enemy, like that. How do we overcome this nature of being envious of devotees due to their, you could say in one sense, spiritual advancement? And we become envious, why is he advancing more than me? And so forth. So in Surat, one leading devotee asked Srila Prabhupada this question, because on one occasion he was suffering from envy. It was affecting him, and it was also affecting his chanting, his japa. So then Srila Prabhupada replied, can you think of any reasons not to be envious? He asked a question like that, not to be envious. And then that leading disciple said, yes, there's many reasons not to be envious. There's many reasons not to be envious. And furthermore, he reasoned that, you know, service is unlimited. And because service is unlimited, why should be envious of somebody else who is doing service, but so much service to do? And there's a variegatedness of service like that. And then he replied to Srila Prabhupada's question. He said, yes, there's so many reasons not to be envious like that. And Prabhupada said, all right. At the same time, Prabhupada knew that it's not easy to get rid of the envy. Not easy to get rid of the envy. Prabhupada knew that, like that. See? So then Prabhupada said that being envious means you don't like someone. Now that not liking should be directed against the demons who create so much havoc in the world and cause disturbance to devotees. It should not be directed towards devotees. So in other words, Prabhupada is saying, if you cannot give up your envy, do not direct it to the devotees. Direct it to the demons, but not to the devotees. Like that. In other words, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya. It's another like form of Yukta Vairagya where you have something but you cannot get rid of it, but you're dovetailing it. You're dovetailing it in Krishna's service. So it should not be directed towards the devotees, but towards the atheists and demons and also Mayavadis in that way. All right, we'll leave time for some comments or questions if you have. Anyone? There's two hands here. Is there a microphone?
Thank you, Mrs. Kalbo. Thanks, Maharaj, for wonderful class. Is there a relation between
envy and backbiting? Envy and backbiting are related.
Okay.
Is there any relation between envy and backbiting? Yes. One of the activities of envy in action is called backbiting. This is one of the activities of envy in action. It's called backbiting. Yes.
You would mention that Prabhupada never held anything against
When his disciples would go away, then they would come back. He wouldn't remember or ask them, you know, what did you do? Why did you do it? But we see these days sometimes people go away, and you know, some of them they just do whatever they do, but others they do something very heinous, even by outside standards, like violence against others or break the law and things like that. And there seems to be a tendency that those people who do something very heinous in a very public way also, or somehow or other becomes public, that the devotees in general condemn that person very harshly, in fact. So, how do you think Srila Prabhupada would deal with such things?
Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay at that time. And he received a phone call from the president of the Calcutta temple. And he didn't take the phone call personally. His secretary took the phone call. Like that. So the secretary gave the message to Srila Prabhupada that one of his leading disciples in Calcutta from the West has fallen away into bad association and is smoking ganja. Drugs, ganja, in Calcutta, like that. So when Srila Prabhupada immediately heard that, he told the secretary, send a message to the president to tell him that I reject him immediately. Like that. So Tumultus Nagaswami heard this. Like that. And he approached Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, do you really mean that you rejected him? Like that. Srila Prabhupada said, no. I just said it so that he could come back. Like that. And then Srila Prabhupada said, I can reject no one. The mercy of Lord Nityananda is unlimited. Does that answer your question?
Namaskar, Acharya. If backbiting is a result of enviness, so how come being competitive is a result of what? And is it related to being envy?
What is your meaning of competitiveness, in spiritually or materially?
Both are being envious is a materialistic emotion, if I guess, and being competitive is also materialistic.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada said that in the spiritual world there is competition but no envy. But in the material world, competition is based on envy. In the spiritual world, they compete to push others forward to serve Krishna and they stay behind. in the material world, you want to push yourself, others, you want to push yourself forward and let others stay behind. So that's a type of competition in a originality. In its original sense, it is positive and it is blissful, that you want to push others to serve Krishna and you come from behind. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Srimati Radharani. And he mentioned something to the effect that everyone wants to push Srimati Radharani to serve Krishna. You go. You know how to serve best. Like that. But Srimati Radharani engages others. No, no, no. You should go. You should serve. I will serve you, but you serve Krishna. Like that. So it's a type of competition in another way. Is that all right? There is one online question, I'll just read it. Please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, even if one lives in the brahmachari ashram, still backbiting propensity remains. So what steps one should take to remove this completely? It's from a devotee from Kolkata. We have come to Krishna consciousness to purify ourselves from our lower natures and exhibit more our higher nature. In that sense, like that. So we may come to Krishna consciousness with the tendency to backbite. Because that comes with an action of envy from the material world. Like that. So long as the devotee is doing two things, primarily. So long as the devotee is sincerely trying, you know, to chant the holy names, especially japa, minimum 16 dhans daily. And so long as the devotee is trying as favorably as possible, one's best, trying one's best to remain in the association of devotees, one should give a chance to the devotee that in due course of time he will become purified of these tendencies. So we have to give a chance for the mercy of the process of devotional service, bhakti, you know, to be infused in the devotee's consciousness by his practice, which he's trying as best as possible. And over due course of time, you may find that the person may be backbiting once a week, and now he's backbiting once a month. And now he's backbiting once in 6 months. And then you become conditioned by thinking, when will he backbite again? He's not doing it anymore. He should be doing it, but he's not doing it anymore. So you become conditioned by his condition, what he's becoming purified of. So we should give devotees a chance for the mercy of the process of devotional service, bhakti, to act on them. For some it will take a longer time, for others not so long. Like that, we should give that chance to the devotee. And another thing that's extremely important is education and training. Through education and training, you don't have to instruct, neither do you have to chastise. Through education and training, somebody can come to the process of self-revealing and self-healing. Just through education and training. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasized in many ways that our Krishna consciousness movement is an educational movement. It's meant to have ongoing education and training in that way. Now just to conclude, we discussed this recently in a course that I taught, the Namamrita program. And just to conclude, as somebody may be sincere, but they may not be serious in the practices of Krishna consciousness. And another person may be very serious, which includes sincerity. Seriousness includes sincerity. Right. So therefore, a devotee, once in contact with the process of Krishna consciousness, that sincerity will always be maintained eternally. That sincerity. Even if he falls away in not being serious in practicing, whereas one time he was seriously practicing itself, because of his sincerity, he'll come back to become serious again to practice Krishna consciousness. Like that. So therefore Srila Prabhupada said, you are all sincere boys and girls. You are my sincere sons and daughters. He writes like that in his letters. Sincere. So even if you're not serious for some reason or the other, due to the overwhelming nature of one's own material desires to take you back, but at least you are sincere in Krishna consciousness, and that will bring you back to the practice. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnava vrinda ki jai. Natai gau premanande. Hare Krishna.